third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord. The scripture that I read this morning, as we've noted, comes from the Gospel of John. And as Mike pointed out a couple of weeks ago, John is, he writes his gospel a lot differently than Matthew, Mark, or Luke. John is focused on who the person of Jesus is, and he's also focused on who we will become as followers of Jesus. Jesus turning water into wine is the first of 7 miracles that happens in his gospel, and it is this miracle that Jesus chooses to make his ministry public. I think it's helpful for us to see what led up to this story, so I'm going to jump back a few verses to where Jesus calls his disciple Nathanael to come and follow him. Starting at verse 48, it goes, "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Right after this conversation is where we picked up and where Jesus turns the water into wine. Clearly, being friends with Jesus has some benefits because Nathanael's signing bonus with the clan consisted of Jesus providing 120 gallons of high-quality wine. But seriously, it would appear that Jesus is using this wedding celebration as his first public announcement about who he is. But why choose this miracle? Why not choose something like providing food for the hungry or healing the sick? Jesus does, in fact, do these miracles later on, which leads me to believe that Jesus decided to do this first miracle like this for a reason. Jesus turning water into wine is a story of transformation. In this story, Jesus turns water, something that normally symbolizes life, into something that is only not essential, but seems frivolous. The thing is, though, even something as simple as water needs to be renewed and revitalized. When water stops flowing and moving, it becomes stagnant, and it becomes harmful to the environment around it because it becomes the breeding ground for parasites and bacteria. It becomes the opposite of life-giving. Wine, on the other hand, although it is not essential like water, is being used here to symbolize something better than what was before, something greater. It's also interesting to note that elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus refers to the kingdom of God as a wedding banquet. And here he is at a wedding banquet, transforming the lifeless into life again. The Gospel of John is all about community. Jesus is telling everyone to care for one another and love one another and that is how the world will know they are his disciples. But John also talks a lot about change and how with Jesus comes change. He's going to challenge tradition, people's comfortability, their laws, and even what they know religion to be. But they must change together. I think this miracle story of transformation is setting the groundwork for his ministry. Before things get really scary and even a little crazy, these people have to be prepared to stick together, all while changing together. When we resist change and transformation, we wither in on ourselves instead of opening ourselves up to the outside. One of the biggest tensions in the church today is the tension between stability and change, and we can see that in any church that we walk into. Community, just like water, can become stagnant. When we stop changing as a community and stop challenging one another to move forward, we become stuck. Not only does that mean that we stay the same, but it also means we become hazardous to those around us. In the drama that we just saw, we saw how traditions that make us feel safe and how being selfish can keep us from experiencing something new and something better. Relationships, as we all know, take effort and compromise and vulnerability. And hopefully, if we are allowing a relationship to affect us the way it should, we will be changed by it as well. As Christians, the most important relationship we have in our life is our relationship with Jesus. And if we take advantage of this relationship, we will be changed time and time again. Here at Hot Metal, we're being transformed. A faithful community is always being transformed, but being aware of this transformation and taking part in it is a necessary step in that process. But John is very clear in his gospel that we do not have any power in our own transformation because Jesus is the source of that transformation, and it is only through him that any change is possible. In order to do this, though, we need to have trust in what God is doing. We need to have trust because change is scary. Change involves the unknown. I recently read this article that said 80% of people fear change, and the main reason is the psychological notion that being is easier than becoming. Sounds pretty accurate to me. I also read that a Harvard psychologist says one of the reasons change is so hard is because human beings are works in progress that mistakenly think they are finished. Human beings are works in progress that mistakenly think they are finished. This is applied to individuals, but it can also be applied to communities and institutions. But luckily for us, I don't think being transformed by Christ is a matter of difficulty because we are not the driving force behind it. We are not the ones finishing the work in progress. God is. God is the one who transforms us and our community. We don't transform ourselves. We can't transform ourselves. We don't have the genetic makeup. It turns out you have to be divine, which is good for us because then all we have to do is be willing. Willing to take a risk, willing to see things differently than we have before, willing to not be in control. But most importantly, we have to be willing to stop being self-serving. When water is self-serving, it becomes stagnant. But when it flows freely, it becomes life-giving. When we give back to this community and put others' needs before our own, then this community becomes life-giving. This may mean breaking with our weekly tradition of watching How to Get Away with Murder, or getting out of our comfort zones and meeting someone new, or even helping a friend in need when it means putting fun on the back burner. When as a community we act in these selfless risk-taking ways, we become the wine, and it flows abundantly and richly. It is by what Christ has already done that allows this transformation to happen now. The hard part is already over. We just have to let God transform us so that we do not become stagnant water, but rather so that we become the wine. Now, I know it's not easy to be willing to give up your security or your time or your own needs before everyone else's. And it is most definitely not a part of our culture. But if we take a cue from Nathaniel, we see that Nathaniel was sold right away in participating in this journey with Jesus. Jesus told Nathaniel that he had noticed him, and that was it. Nathaniel didn't ask Jesus to prove he was the Messiah. He just believed. Nathaniel had a first-class seat to watch Jesus transform the world. And right after this is when Jesus performs his first miracle. Jesus wasted no time in showing Nathaniel the greater things that he had yet to see. Now, it might not be as easy as Nathaniel makes it seem to partake in the transformative work of Jesus. But Jesus promises every single one of us that we will see greater things than what we have already seen. Hot Metal has seen some pretty great things. Hot Metal has also seen a lot of change. Pastors have come and gone, congregants have come and gone, worship styles, programs, meeting spaces have all come and gone, and yet God continuously does a new thing in this place. What greater things than this has Hot Metal yet to experience? What is there lurking right beyond our commitment to let Jesus transform us? Each week here, we participate in communion as a community. We do this every week because we believe that it is in this act that transformation is taking place. We are all participating in the same thing at the same time with the same desire, to become more like Christ. So when we take communion today, let us remember what Christ has done for us, but also what else Christ has in store for us. Amen.